Good morning. Welcome and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I will now turn the meeting over to Ms. Patricia Murphy with IBM. Ma'am, you may begin.
Thank you. Excuse me. Thank you, Jill. This is Patricia Murphy, Vice President of Investor Relations for IBM. Thanks for joining us today. We're here to talk about IBM's acquisition of Red Hat. We have five senior executives between the two firms on today's call. In speaking order, we have Ginni Rometty, IBM Chairman, President, and CEO, Jim Kavanaugh, IBM Senior Vice President and CFO, Jim Whitehurst, Red Hat President and CEO, Paul Cormier, Red Hat President, Products and Technologies, and Arvind Krishna, IBM Senior Vice President, Hybrid Cloud, and Director of IBM Research. During today's call, we'll make some statements that are considered forward-looking. Those statements involve a number of factors that could cause actual results to differ materially. Additional information concerning these factors is contained in the company's filings with the SEC, which you can get from the SEC or from the IBM website. With that, I'll turn the call over to Ginni Rometty.
All right. Thank you, Pat. And I can't tell you how happy I am to be here today, as is Jim Whitehurst, together, both of us, to talk to you about this exciting announcement. You now know, as Pat just mentioned, yesterday afternoon we announced that we would acquire Red Hat, the world's leading provider of open source cloud solutions and the emerging leader in the platforms for hybrid cloud and multi-cloud. Now, Jim is here with me. We're both in Raleigh because we're going to be speaking to employees in a minute, and Arvind and Paul are in Boston to speak to employees there. We are where we need to be, and Jim is back in Armonk. So we are all over the place. We're going to do this all remotely here with you. This is clearly IBM's most significant step in the transformation of our offerings and services to lead in high value, and I'm going to keep coming back to how this helps us lead in the high value segments of the industry. The combination of IBM and Red Hat, it's a game changer. I want to keep repeating, this is about resetting the cloud landscape, and we will be the undisputed number one leader in hybrid cloud. So to give that some context, I keep saying this is the second chapter of the cloud, and the second chapter of the cloud is about something different. And we've been really building our business for this moment. And to lead in the second chapter, this is going to be about hybrid cloud. And hybrid cloud is an emerging $1 trillion market. Now, all clients today already have cloud. I mean, look, we already have a $19 billion successful cloud business. But in phase one, is what I call it, the early cloud projects, the easy work has moved. It's mostly been about productivity, some client-facing apps. And as we've done surveys, not only our own, external, clients have moved 10 to 20% of their workloads to the cloud. So that's what I call chapter one, 20% mostly cost focused. But this is an inflection point. And if they're going to get past that and move the other 80%, which is about all their processes and their data, they need what we're going to offer together, this robust hybrid environment. And so this 80% is, like I said, about them unlocking business value. But I want you to put it in context. The average client has 1,000 applications. And the average client already has five, in fact, we see some as many as 16 clouds. They've got to move this, they either have to rewrite, refactor, decide what goes where, secure the data. These are all inhibitors that stop them from going. So this is only going to be achieved, this move of the 80%, if you can move data and applications across multiple clouds, make that portable. And by the way, we just had a big board of advisor meeting last week. And the number one thing they're saying to us is, hey, these other clouds are proprietary. We want an open solution, no lock-in. So move it across multiple cloud environments with no lock-in. That's what the two of us do together. By the way, we've both been building on that technology. And then they say, and it's got to address data security in a multi-cloud environment, and then give us a way to manage a multi-cloud environment. So, as I said, to address it, they are demanding this open approach. I mean, I heard it loud and clear. Jim and I have gotten hundreds of notes from clients telling us this is the right thing to do. And they want the ability to run a single common platform in all those environments, you know, whether it's traditional, virtualized, private, all the publics out there. And this open approach is what lets them avoid that lock-in and allows them to move all the apps and data services we're talking about into the cloud environment. So that's why you see on this chart, to us, to lead in chapter two, you got to be hybrid, multi-cloud, open, secure end-to-end, and multi-cloud management. Now, We have been building, and we have been very focused on hybrid and multi-cloud, again, based on open technologies. So we've built on containers, Kubernetes. Our IBM Cloud Platform is growing like crazy. Multi-Cloud Manager was just announced last week from us. And I remind you, we have the largest cloud-managed services business on the planet. We run more SAP in the cloud than anyone else runs in the cloud, as an example. But I'm going to pause. I mean, what we did was look and you know, we see a scale of a $1 trillion market, and we said to ourselves and constantly kept saying, what can we do better to address the needs of our clients, and how do we accelerate our ability to go after that? And knowing, and this is really an important point, knowing that Linux is the fastest growing platform out there, and just this year, it became the number one platform both on-prem and in the cloud. So it is the starting point and the destination. It is the starting point and the destination, and we now own both of them. So we're playing to be the undisputed number one, and it is what led us to Red Hat. And Jim's going to get to talk in a Jim Whitehurst in a little bit here, but I want to talk a little bit more about, okay, tell me more about why Red Hat here. And so for those of you that do or don't remember, we are a long-standing champion of the Linux and open source community. And that started in, 20 years ago when we made a $1 billion investment. And ever since, we've had a long-standing partnership with Red Hat. And we've been the pioneer with them on Linux and other platforms for the enterprise. They also bring to us 8 million plus developers, right? 90% penetration in the Fortune 500. And they are now one of the key foundational technologies of a hybrid cloud. I hear this from everyone, hence the starting point. Now, as our clients think about this transition to hybrid and multi-cloud, Red Hat's strategic value has only increased. Leveraging their large install base, the value proposition of its open architecture, they operate across multiple environments, which we welcome, right? That's why they've emerged as one of the key foundational technologies for hybrid computing as well. And so they, too, offer a portfolio of open standards, including OpenShift, which is their open hybrid cloud infrastructure. They use open containers, Kubernetes, cloud-native development, cloud automation, not to mention, as I said, their developer system. So, and underlying it, something I know Jim is going to repeat in a second, it is all about people, too, and we have great admiration for their people in the business he's built, but it is with a strong understanding of how to both balance an open source culture and then as well scale it in an integrated way. So for those of you, I know you've asked a lot of questions on this. This is over the last year we've been talking about opportunities to work closer and closer. Because, I mean, we've worked close together for decades, but how to even accelerate that as we both looked at this hybrid opportunity, multi-cloud world in front of us. Jim and I share the same strategic vision, and we have very complementary capabilities. And so back in April, I remember it well still too, we had a great lunch about what were the strategic alternatives here. And in May, you would have seen us extend that collaboration if you were watching to the target, and we really were targeting hybrid cloud adoption. And that led us to really great confidence. I mean, we were testing that could we go capture this, integrate it together, and unlock this for both of us. And so that's really what led to this. I mean, we've worked on it for those months since, and, you know, when I look at them, as I've said to everyone, and I want to say it to you, this accelerates growth across all of IBM. I mean, and let me first start with Red Hat on its own as a high-value company. And, you know, I said to Jim, you did a great job, strong growth and highly profitable and generates cash. There are not many companies out there that look like that in this area. But the benefit goes beyond that, and as I said, it's going to lift all of IBM. So let's take first our own cloud revenue. I said Linux is the number one operating system on-prem and the destination in the cloud. Number one. This gives us a starting point. We're going to accelerate our own public and private cloud from this, not to mention what it does for analytics and data, AI, Watson around that. Because remember, getting all that data together across all these environments in a secure way is our client's number one issue with data and AI. Second is, as clients proceed on this 80% journey I keep talking about, they do need services and help. I just, again, spent a whole day with a board of advisors. So our global business services, They've built a cloud migration factory. They've built cloud garages. We have thousands of people in these. We have 90,000 cloud architects to accelerate this movement. I mentioned SAP being, we have the most SAP in our cloud. By the way, we have the most VMware on our cloud. Then Global Technology Services, they are the largest cloud managed service. 30% of their backlog is cloud. And systems, ZP Storage, all run Linux, and it's the fastest growing part of the market. It's the fastest growing workload on Z, by the way, on the mainframe. So I feel like we've built the foundation to be ready for this moment. And so this is great for our clients. That is coming through just to Jim and I loud and clear. And Jim Cavanaugh, is going to now take you through the transaction and the financials, which you will see just accelerates our high-value model. So let me turn over to Mr. Cavanaugh now, right? So Jim's in another building, so I'm signaling over to him.
All right, thanks, Ginny. What you've just heard about is the terrific strategic fit and the opportunities opened up by the combination of our two powerful businesses. And now I want to turn to how this accelerates our growth and reinforces our high-value model. But first, let me make a comment on the details of the transaction. Under the terms of the definitive agreement, we'll acquire Red Hat for $190 per share, which reflects an enterprise value of approximately $34 billion net of Red Hat's cash. This is an all-cash transaction and will be financed through a combination of cash and debt. We have also entered into a bridge loan commitment with certain banks that together with cash and other available facilities provide sufficient financial flexibility to complete the transaction. As always, this will be subject to Red Hat shareholder approval, regulatory approvals, and other customary closing conditions. And we think right now, based on the timing of these reviews, we expect to close in the latter half of 2019. And then post-closing, we expect to report the results within the technology services and cloud platform segment. That said, the significant cross-selling opportunities like those that Ginny just described drives value across our entire IBM portfolio. Red Hat accelerates IBM's revenue growth and our shift to higher value. Red Hat is a premier industry leader with a very attractive financial profile. On its own, it's growing revenue at strong double-digit rate and a similar level of backlog growth. And more importantly, though, it is a high-value business, as evidenced by its strong margin and free cash flow generation. And as we integrate these two businesses, the combination is even stronger. It accelerates our top-line performance, increasing our revenue growth rate by 200 basis points on a five-year CGR. It accelerates our mix shift to higher value and is accretive to our gross profit margin and free cash flow in year one and operating earnings per share by the end of year two. And finally, then turning to capital allocation. As you all know, we operate with a very disciplined financial policy and are committed to maintaining a strong balance sheet and investment credit ratings. We will continue to provide returns to our shareholders with continued dividend increases. And we expect to get back to our target leverage ratio within a couple years and intend to suspend our share repurchase program in 2020 and 2021. So with that as an overview of the transaction and the financial profile, let me turn it over to Jim Whitehurst, President and CEO of Red Hat.
Thanks, Jim, and let me also welcome you all on today's call. I'd like to echo what Ginny said and express how excited we are to be joining forces with IBM, truly the most storied technology company in the world. We're thrilled to be able to jointly drive our hybrid cloud leadership and support the expansion and growth of Red Hat's leading open source technology portfolio. Red Hat is the leading open source software business with a strong core Linux infrastructure business and our broad innovative application development and emerging technologies that have enabled us to grow for 66 consecutive quarters in good times and in bad times. This portfolio of solutions has increased our strategic importance with customers as they're all looking to prioritize their digital and cloud transformation initiatives. And this combination not only represents a truly fantastic outcome for our shareholders, but it is a catalyst for Red Hat to drive forward powerfully into the future with an ideal teammate by our sides. You know, with IBM, we can expect to continue to drive value with our customers. Specifically, we can leverage IBM's scale and resources to enhance the development and continued improvement of our infrastructure, management, automation solutions, and cloud-native application development. You know, we've talked so long about the really bright opportunity in front of us, and by being able to leverage the power of IBM, its scale, its depth in customer relationships, its industry vertical expertise, we're really excited that we can take our growth to a whole new level. The combined opportunity will have significant opportunity to capture cloud-native workloads in a rapidly growing hybrid cloud world. And Red Hat and IBM have been partnered for over 20 years, right, starting with the growth and development of Linux, which is the foundation for cloud computing. And working closely with IBM over time, and especially as we worked to put together this transaction, it was clear that IBM has a deep, deep appreciation for our open source values, our culture, and our unique talent and experience. Another reason why this combination works so well for Red Hat is IBM's long history and commitment and participation in open source communities and a focus on the developer ecosystem. In fact, last month we were running a survey about who are considered the enterprise open source leaders, and IBM and Red Hat were neck and neck, and in fact IBM beat us in several of those categories in the survey. And so we believe together that we can be the world's most powerful advocate for open source development. We look forward to operating as a distinct unit powered by IBM after the close of the transaction, and our brand, facilities, go-to-market, and partner strategies will remain intact. And I think that's really important, right? This is about providing choice and making sure customers are not locked in. So before I turn the call over to Paul for a few comments, I'd like to take a moment to thank our associates. Their dedication and relentless focus on advancing the power of open source technologies is critical to our success, both now and certainly in the future. I'd like to recognize our partners in the open source community. They share our belief and our passion for open source as the foundation of digital transformation in modern IT. I know we will continue to make great things together well into the future, and I'm personally so excited about it. With that, let me turn the call over to Paul Cormier, who expanded our joint ongoing commitment to open.
Thanks, Jim. You know, we really look at this as a continuation of what we've been doing at Red Hat from the beginning. And we've worked with IBM in the open source community from the beginning of what we've done in the enterprise, have a strong working relationship there, and I think now we just get stronger with that. So we both continue that support in our upstream development as the main development model for us. We really also at Red Hat have been working on our open hybrid cloud strategy for some time. And the cloud is all about Linux and open source. As leaders in Linux in the enterprise, we've been building our portfolio around that for a number of years. Everything we've done from M&A to new products to existing products has been in that hybrid cloud model. With this now, we just accelerate getting that to market. We can solve hybrid cloud problems for our customers, for so many more of our customers than we could here as a standalone. So we really look at this as really, an affirmation of the strategy we've been on and really opening that up to a much larger market. We've been dedicated both to working with developers, and we will continue to invest and even increase our investment in open source communities. As open source is the driver in enterprise, more enterprise solutions are based on more open source that comes from diverse open source communities, and now we open that up as well. And of course, we're both founding members of the Open Innovation Network, and from a patent perspective, we are much stronger voice together for continued freedom through the open source patent promise. So that's another area that we see very, very much working together and really expanding in this space. So with that, I'll turn it over to Arvind to continue.
Thanks, Paul. So I just want to reemphasize a few points that Ginny and Jim made, and then I'll come to some of the comments that Paul made. Just to emphasize, we believe that for this next chapter of the cloud journey, hybrid is the answer. A hybrid cloud is the answer that goes across both private cloud and public cloud. Ginny mentioned that most of our clients already have 5 clouds, and many of them have as many as 16 public clouds. So operating in the multi-cloud world is critical to fulfill this journey. It has to be based on open technologies. As you pointed out, Linux is the number one platform for enterprise applications, and it has to be done in a secure way with consistent management. So, the world is hybrid. The platform which everyone is embracing for how you move applications to the cloud is based on containers and Kubernetes. Innovation is the only path forward, both to unlock value from data, whether that's AI or leveraging blockchain to fulfill transactions and to carry data forward in a secure and trusted way. And in the world where cybersecurity is becoming an even more critical issue, a certified stack all the way up from the metal up is essential for people to feel secure in moving their applications around in a hybrid multi-cloud world. And IBM and Red Hat share these beliefs. From my conversations with Paul over the years, I know that this is a common belief held by both of us, and that this is the way forward on an open base, but in a secure way, and in a way that all enterprises can trust to go forward. So to talk about the significant benefits that this brings to clients, both Ginny and Jim Whitehurst talked about the benefits for IBM and for Red Hat. But to really talk about the benefit to clients, together, IBM and Red Hat can provide this enterprise-grade hybrid cloud with a way to migrate traditional workloads to the cloud. I'll use two quick client examples to do that. One of our clients in Australia, Westpac, has embarked on a hybrid cloud journey. However, the way that they are doing it right now, they've dramatically improved speed. They believe they're 10x faster, but they believe they can get another 10x if they can get to use a common platform of the type that we are describing. Another of our clients, American Airlines, is already in a multi-cloud world. They work in a private cloud, they work on a public cloud, they have a private dedicated cloud, they have pieces sitting in other public clouds, and for them to be able to make this next step forward to say that we can refactor or modernize an application in one place but deploy at will wherever in a straightforward way, getting rid of complexity, getting rid of different security and management protocols, brings great value to how they can give a much better digital experience to their clients. So I really fundamentally believe that IBM and Red Hat together is the number one hybrid cloud provider for this next journey and the next chapter in the cloud. Patricia, I'll hand it back to you.
Thank you, Arvind. So we're going to get started on the Q&A, and as we do that, I'd ask you to limit to one question each, please. So, Jill, let's please open it up for questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 and record your name to ask your question. Our first question is from Amit Daryanani with RBC Capital Markets. Sir, your line is open.
Yep. Thanks a lot. Good morning, guys, and thanks for taking my question. Jeannie, could you just talk about the revenue synergy opportunities that you've talked about for IBM over here? And do you think the opportunity is larger in A, leveraging IBM services, GBS, GTS capabilities to help customers get to the cloud and manage the hybrid cloud environment? Or is it larger B, in essentially adding on your stack, be that, you know, analytics or Watson, on top of something like OpenShift, for example? I'm trying to understand, where do you think there's a bigger opportunity, and what's the sort of timeline to realize these revenue synergies from here?
Yeah, thank you, Amit. And really, there are, those are two interesting, and I'm going to add a third one to your comment about revenue synergies, because this is all about growth. So for one thing, just take Red Hat itself. The one you didn't mention is about our ability to scale this, you know, everywhere, right? And so that's, as Jim has said many times, he's like, this is my biggest constraint, right, Jim? I'd say scale,
exactly.
If I had to say it in a word. It's scale and industry expertise. So, okay, voila, that's one set. But the next one is our own assets, as Jim and Arvind just mentioned, about an end-to-end integrated stack that is secure and open. So that is also for our AI. That is for our, if you take a look at parts of our middleware, our cloud private, these are all things on top of that. So it is a very good opportunity for us to cross-sell if you want to look at it that way and use that then as a distribution. Jim Whitehurst and I, we have two Jims here, have talked about this many times. He sees it with the things we offer that clients need that we will integrate on. And then the third piece of it, so excellent opportunity, and the third piece of it is around the services team. And this is an issue of, and again, I just wish as you get into these clients, the easy part's done. And now every client I work with, they need help. I mean, again, they ask for help on the cloud journey. You're either on a digital journey and or cloud journey together. And 1,000 apps, as I said, they look at them and they go, okay, do I shrink wrap this one? Do I break this one into microservices? Do I put this one and rebuild it on the cloud? Oh, 3 clouds. Can I share data across? We go through this with so many clients, and this is why we are scaling up in our services groups on this. And so GBS, there's actually called something called a cloud migration factory. 3,000 people in it already. They've done 100,000 app migrations through there already. And then on GTS, our technology services, so many clients want to manage. They say, okay, 15 clouds. I cannot do this, and I can't secure it. So all 3 of those are absolute revenue synergies, which is why, Jim, and I mean, for us to talk about that, you guys know us. We don't often do that. And we're saying it is accretive to our revenue, 200 basis points, CAGR 5 years. We're big. That's not saying accretive to one little piece of IBM. That's IBM. And so, Jim, why don't you – I'm going to ask Mr. Jim Whitehurst, let him make one more comment.
Yeah,
for
I just
you on
have
that.
To. I mean, we are so excited about how, just as Red Hat standalone, before we think about the other pieces, how much this can expand our business. Just the scale and go-to-market and the credibility with customers is just can dramatically accelerate our business. And then secondly, the only thing holding back our growth on our container platform is lack of services capability to be able to move applications. And we've been building out our own services capability, but it is very small relative to what IBM can bring to the table. So we are so excited about just those two aspects of this just from our own standalone business. And then there are obviously all the cross-portfolio synergies.
Yep, great. Terrific. Amit, thanks for the question. Let's go to the next question, please, Jill.
It comes from Katie Huberty with Morgan Stanley. Your line is open.
Thank you, and congratulations to all of you on the deal. Ginny, let me ask you a clarification on your last answer, then I have another question. The clarification is, are you willing to now consider selling IBM's SaaS offerings like Analytics and Watson on other cloud platforms through the Red Hat stack? I just want to understand if that's the strategy going forward. And then are you willing to look at the IBM portfolio and consider potential divestitures that could help fund this deal and also accelerate the path to faster growth and higher value? Thank you.
Okay. Yep, good, Kate. And thank you for seeing it. It is a strong acquisition. We're so excited about it and the value it brings to clients. And to clarify, so yes, will we put other pieces of IBM, our analytics, on the Red Hat stack? The answer is absolutely yes. And so, I mean, that is really an important vehicle for distribution of so many things, and do it appropriately, right? There are certain things that belong there, certain things that don't, but you got it. We will. Then the second thing is about divestitures. We don't need to divest anything to fund this, by the way. But I think what this shows you, again, is we are not shy about making an acquisition we need to make, and I am not going to be shy about divesting what we need to divest, okay? So when we determine that it is time and should be, we will. You do not need to fear that at all. And in honesty, I think our history does prove that, right? When we think it is the right time, in my tenure, it's been almost $8 billion of divestitures here. So, we're going to use their stack to scale, and we will also not be shy about both acquisitions and divestitures.
Great. Thanks, Katie. Jill, can we go to the next question, please?
Yes, it's from Wamsi Mohan with Bank of America. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you, Ginny. Congrats on the deal. It's a big step that can really change your longer-term revenue growth trajectory. I think Jim said 200 basis points of of incremental revenue growth, which is obviously very meaningful. So my question is, how are you thinking of the incremental investments to support this growth acceleration? And does that create a temporary pause in PTI growth? And more broadly, does this deal give you a multiplier of growth, and not just from IBM Cloud, but also gives you a leverage to growth at some of your traditional cloud competitors that can be a additional revenue boost? Thank you.
Okay. So thanks again to all of you guys. And again, we're looking at other analysts out there, not investor analysts, but IT analysts are all saying the same thing about being very strong as a partnership here together. And so a couple of your comments about as I look at the investments, this is not a cost synergy case. This is a revenue growth case. So we've booked that in here. I don't necessarily see this is accretive to accelerate our high value model here, okay? So when you said, do I see a hit to our PTI because of this? No. And Jim's really built a solid business. We've booked our investments to keep scaling him. I mean, and that is one of the most attractive things about us here too, as well as a great partner on this. And then when you said, is this a way for other parts of IBM to continue to grow, I think I got that right, Wamsi, at the very end there, and that it absolutely is. And so when I was naming just a second ago with Amit, when I was naming different parts of our services, those not only can grow, but as well, I got to tell you, our customers view this as a way to extend, as an example, their middleware. All right, so they have middleware portfolios from us that this attaches to. So this is a very important addition to what would be our existing portfolio that lengthens and extends it in a very positive way. And that's why it's been an important message I've communicated in my my video to all IBMers today. This lifts all boats at IBM. There is something in here for every part of IBM and the integrated IBM in addition to our clients, which is why it is so strong and compelling from both shareholder accretive to our high value model to my clients, number one, they're the real winner here, the open source community, which guys, I'm telling you, this cloud battle is going to be open versus proprietary, and we are going to be the leading open. Clients do not want lock-in, and they are sharpening up to this right now. They're actually limiting function they use on other people's clouds, saying, if that is not portable, do not touch those functions. You're seeing it happen big time. Jim, you and I were talking about how much people are paying, and they're recognizing what they're paying. You and I and your chairman last night were talking about when they see what they pay on some other clouds, they're like, whoa, stop using that, right? And they want portable. So, this idea that it can extend every part of IBM, we've marched through it, right, and think that all of these will continue to grow. You want to make a comment on?
Yeah.
I'll let Jim Whitehurst.
Well, yeah, you know, again, I can't speak to overall IBM and that kind of how it rolls through to financials, but what I can say is we have 94% gross margins on subscriptions. So incremental scale to be able to drop more revenue, that's very, very profitable, both in terms of income and cash, very, very, very quickly. And so, again, enterprises want hybrid cloud. They do not want to be locked in. They were locked in the last generation of technology. They're now kind of equivalent of pouring concrete for the next 20 years of technology, and they want it to be open and they want to have choice. And so this is the time when we can really accelerate into this opportunity. And again, given at least the margins on software from our business, the ability to scale this business, it's a very profitable way to grow.
Yeah, it's interesting that others chatter the words open on the cloud world. And again, Red Hat runs on a number of clouds, but that's not native. And there's a big difference to clients in what they're able to then both do and secure when you run native. We'll be the native guy. Okay,
great.
Next, ready?
Yes, we are ready. Jill, let's take the next question, please.
Our next question is from Toni Sacconaghi with Bernstein. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you. Ginny, as you noted, this is a very big and bold move for IBM. I think the largest acquisition you had done prior to this was Cognos at $5 billion. So congratulations in the conviction. I'm wondering if you can comment on integration and your confidence in integration, perhaps by telling us about what larger deals IBM has done and you view as successful integrations. And particularly with Red Hat, this challenge of sort of maintaining its Switzerland-like status with partners, yet at the same time realizing benefits? Is there risk in being more integrated and go to market that you alienate OEM or cloud partners and how you plan to manage that? And perhaps you can highlight what specific metrics investors should look to, particularly in the early years, because your CAGR is a five-year CAGR, so that's really 7 years from now. What should we be looking for in 2019, 2020 to make us confident that the deal is integrating successfully and according to your plans? Thank you.
Yep. Okay, so look, Tony, thank you. And actually, it is conviction, but it's confidence as well. And when you look at all the acquisitions, and you know how many we've done in my tenure, I've done tens and tens and tens of acquisitions. But I will tell you what I've personally done. I have done the biggest ones that were all about culture. And PwC was the only successful integration of a services company, and I personally did it. I understand this so clearly. In fact, it's why I'm at Red Hat today. I did everything else remotely today because it is very clear to me what number one is. Number one is the people of Red Hat. And so how to do a culture in bed, this took Jim and I 90 seconds to know what it was, the operating model. Literally, I don't even think we
didn't have to talk about it.
We didn't have to talk about it. It was obvious. And in that, when I say they're a distinct operating unit, because we've got to preserve absolutely this Switzerland, as you call it, right? And I will remind you, our technology services and GBS businesses, they are Switzerland in many, many ways. I wish I had more IBM going through them, by the way. I mean, I'm the biggest provider for lots of different products out there. So this is in our DNA. So distinct unit, and I've been very clear with Jim. He just talked about that digital go-to-market and distribution. That go-to-market stays separate. My IBMers, traditional IBMers here, they're going to be pulling more of this. So this is very clear. So I want to preserve his brand, his culture, and again, given their size, you're in a number of units around the world. No problem. They're all staying there. That's why I'm in one of them today. And the go-to-market stays distinct. And so I think it's very clear to us on what horizontally stays neutral. And both Jim and I have already committed to all of these other partners, whether it's Microsoft, to the everyone. That's absolutely what has to happen. And they can have confidence in that. I mean, Tony, we already open source a ton. The two of us are by far the world's largest open source committer. And you don't have to look much further than Hyperledger for blockchain even on our side. So it's one of these things you have to reinforce and people have to say it, they have to see it. But I am very confident that the IBM company and I personally know how to make that kind of an integration work. And Arvind, the hybrid cloud unit, they also understand it very well. Because remember, we built all of our hybrid cloud on open technologies. We've built them on containers, on Kubernetes. So this is a kindred spirit between all.
Yeah, one thing I'd emphasize here is, again, we're staying distinct in our go-to-market, so our partners know working with us, they're working with people who are, you know, working with them and are not incented to compete against them. But what this really does, as Jenny talked about, we have 80% of the cloud market to go, and so this is about helping customers solve their problems, and in doing so, it will create a lot of incremental workload and therefore revenue. And our partners like Microsoft, Amazon, and Google, I think, are going to be thrilled because this is more revenue happening for all of us. So this is about growing a pie, not moving around the deck chairs in a static environment. So I think it's going to be exciting for all of our partners.
And Tony's other question was around metrics and the timing. And we said in the release here, second half of 19, but this is a complementary acquisition. We do not see any regulatory inhibitors. So we are going to close as fast as possible and obviously then update our 19 when we talk to you about it.
Great. Jill, can we please go to the next question?
Our next question is from David Grossman from Stephen Financial. Your line is open.
Thank you. Good morning, and congratulations to both of you. You know, Ginny, you've done a very good job of outlining the strategic merits of the deal and the longer-term impact on IBM's growth rate. However, can you give us, you know, maybe some more specific financial metrics that may help us estimate the incremental revenue synergies associated with leveraging global services and IBM software into the Red Hat installed base?
Yeah, so let me, some of the specifics, as you say, for both, you said global services, right, David?
Right, and software. I think you mentioned them both.
Yes. And so, I mean, Jim Cavanaugh can jump in too, but the point is around on our software, it is our hybrid cloud. As you know, we have the IBM cloud private, and as well, we've got a whole IBM cloud private for data, a whole suite of middleware that extends around that. That's what I was talking about integrating with Jim. And you would have seen, by the way, you would have seen that stuff all returning to growth here in the most recent quarter. And then in our global services, both category, well, I shouldn't even stop there, by the way, because the question earlier, I think it was Katie that had asked us about the other parts of what we put onto here, right? And that we are going to have our analytics as well. We just announced, you probably didn't see it, AI OpenScale. This is another thing right on top of this that says to a client, their mess is lifecycle management of data and lifecycle management of models and AI, and not just Watson, any kind. That goes on top of this. So we will look for synergies both across that portfolio, but as well as across, when you said on services, this is to do the modernization of apps. So we have a united single methodology for our clients. In fact, again, we were just taking all the IP and the process and the methodologies through with our own board of advisors on this. That is around GBS and GTS together. It is a one cloud strategy along with, you know, contemporary name is cloud garages around the world, and with the migration center, 3,000 people in it, as I think I said. So those are the areas. You'll see that in the revenue in both those areas, the managed services side, in both the consulting and the application innovation side. It is both sides of it, David.
Okay, great. Let's, you know, we're running out of time. Let's take one more question.
Thank you. Our last question will be from John Roy with UBS. Your line is open, sir.
Thank you. One question. There's obviously a lot of overlap in the product portfolios between Red Hat and IBM. And you're not looking at cost synergies. So are you looking at essentially keeping both lines and also for future development? Just I want to kind of get an idea of how you're going to progress going forward, more of a Red Hat approach or more of an IBM approach or both.
Yeah, hey, hold on.
If you know those overlaps,
you know technology better than the two of us do together. So there is really hardly any overlap there that we know of. I mean, we're both the guys that wrote the stuff. So it just must be a misperception of what's out there. So I feel that's why, honestly, otherwise, of course, we would deal with that if we had some kind of overlap. But
yeah,
we don't see it.
I think I would actually flip that around the other way. I think we both talk about hybrid cloud, but what makes this so valuable is the fact that we don't have product overlap, and so bringing together, we can offer holistic solutions. So if you think you both hear us say products and hybrid cloud, but we are at different layers of that, and therefore we come together, we can offer the most compelling solution. But it's because we have complementary products solving a problem around open hybrid multi-cloud. And so that's where the real value is. You're right, we have overlap in terms of that broad market, but not at the product level. And so that's the beauty of bringing this together, is we can offer solutions that can accelerate our customers' businesses.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this does happen when we use words like hybrid, right? People, it's a very big set of capabilities needed. And it's interesting because even when we talk about with clients on a private cloud fabric, and we have one, actually if you stack them up to each other, they hardly overlap one iota, right? So they're actually quite complementary. So devil always in the detail. So look, I just want to wrap up here. I know we want to be wrapped up before the market opened up, right? So if I could just go back, I think I'm going to recap on a couple points in that this is about resetting the entire cloud landscape. I've talked to many of you about, you know, how does IBM become the undisputed leader in this new world? Chapter two of the cloud is hybrid, and we are now going to be the number one undisputed leader. This is what you need to know to move these clients. We know this better than anyone in the world, to move their mission critical work on a safe journey to the cloud. And it is a world that will be open and multi-cloud. So we will preserve both the Switzerland, but we will manage and make this safe in an integrated stack as well with Red Hat here. And we now have access to the world's largest developer community. From a being good for both our shareholders and as well as our own high-value model, I just want to reiterate, when we set 200 basis points of revenue to all of IBM CAGR 5 years, do not think that means it's back-end loaded, all right? That's a sign of strength when we're telling you that. So do not think that means it's all back-end loaded by one and any stretch, and that it just in, by our telling you, year one, free cash flow as well as gross margins accretive. And I want to come back to something we didn't talk about, which is, and this is also as well, a solid and growing dividend. That does not change here. And we know how much that means. And we're quite able now to still organic, non-organic, do this, our dividend. We're in very good, ample financial flexibility here. So you're right. In Tony's words, I can't have more greater conviction nor confidence, and it is driven at its heart by what our clients need, and all you have to do is look at my text messages in my inbox, and same for Jim's. We've been comparing with each other. This is what clients want, and that is always the right place to start, and I think the winner is going to be our client, the industry, our shareholders at the end of the day. So I thank you guys for hopping on at the last minute like this, and we look forward to, we're going to close as fast as we can, and we look forward to sharing more and more with you, but this is the right time, and we have been shaping IBM for this moment. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Jenny. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Jill, let me turn it back to you to wrap up.
Thank you, ma'am. At this time, we thank you for participating for today's call. The conference has now ended, and you may disconnect at this time.